Earlier today, we had a visit from Mark Haberman from Community United Methodist Church in Coeur d'Alene about the rebuilding of the church's organ and a dedication recital that's happening this weekend. We began our chat with Mark telling us a little bit about his history with the church.
Back in 1993, I relocated from Sioux City, Iowa with my family to serve in a full-time work relationship and ministry relationship with Community United Methodist Church in Coeur d'Alene. Served in that capacity for 7 years. We began, my family and I, at the previous location at 7th and Wallace near downtown Coeur d'Alene, and worked with the church as we moved into an all-new location at the corner of Ramsey Road and Hanley Avenue in Coeur d'Alene. So it was an exciting time to be a part of that congregation's life as coordinator of children's family and music ministries from 1993 to 2000. I was in other settings from 2000 to 2006, and since 2006, I have again been a part of the life and ministry of the church, serving as coordinator of their traditional music service from 2006 to 2014, a rich period of time being back in that setting. Retired from really that fuller work in 2014, and by 2016 they said, hey, can you come back and share part of the organist position? So it's just really sweet to play the organ a couple of Sundays a month, and because I do have a day job that takes me far and wide. So walked into the church 25 years ago.
Wow. So a good history with it, seeing that major transition there. And of course, the key to the musical life of the church is the instrument, the organ that's there. So tell us, first of all, there are a couple of concepts that people may not think about in terms of pipe organs. And one is that they do need a lot of tender, loving care and occasionally need to be rebuilt. And they also are built in the style of their time. And sometimes that needs to be adjusted a little bit as musical ideas change. So this is an instrument with a true history, a true past. So walk us through that, if you would, please.
That past goes back almost 110 years, and if one can imagine what Coeur d'Alene or Spokane were like in the year 1909, that's when this organ began its life at the previous location of our congregation, and it really is, it's touching, it's spiritual, it's really almost escapes words to recognize that this organ has led, in its predecessor forms, has led people into worship for 110 years within our own congregation. We did not move into a building and inherit the organ. So back in 1909, people were married to the sounds of the organ, and people were blessed into eternity to the sounds of the organ as well as regular worship, and that's deeply touching. That instrument in its original form, the million-dollar word is as a tubular pneumatic action organ.
We maybe need to stop there just for a second. I think the analog that everybody can get is to typewriters. Many of us who are of a certain age grew up with and first learned on what is now called a manual typewriter. It was called a typewriter up to a certain point in our history. Then things began to happen, and those keystrokes all of a sudden got to be assisted by electricity. So you have the IBM Selectrics and all this. So there is still a real kind of connection between the hitting the key and having something strike the paper and leave ink on there. And then the evolution continued, and so now we have computer keyboards, and if you have a manual typewriter around your house, there's probably a shrine to it or something like that. So this is kind of similar to in organ building. I think maybe the simplest way to think about it is that sometimes you need help in order to make a note sound, because you're trying to get air into a pipe, and you have to open a valve to do that, and sometimes there's a lot of resistance. And if it's like a manual typewriter, some of them really built up muscles in your fingers from the heaviness of the action. So there are various things that have been used over the years to assist that, and one is air. Air running through tubes that would help open the valve so it's easier to play the organ. And so, yes, if you can imagine this mass of spaghetti lead tubing running hither, thither, and everywhere inside the instrument, that's tubular pneumatic.
Connecting the console where you sit and play to the pipes that mm-hmm. actually make the music. Yes, Jim, that was kind of insider language, and I sure appreciate you.
Well, you know, it's the organ can be a mystery, but it's not. It's a lot simpler than it seems at first go. But that's topic for another day.
Yeah.
So let's move on with the history of the instrument.
So from 1909 until the early to mid-1970s, so a good period of years, the organ served faithfully with some minor repairs because organs require that. And in that day and age, the members of the church were kind of doing that. I don't know if it involved bubble gum or certain kinds of – it just served faithfully, and it was it became necessary to really update it, maybe moving it from that manual typewriter to the Selectric, kind of 1978, and that's when we saw the Selectrics on our desks in the workplace. And so a major project was done in 1978, still in the former church building, and the wonderful part about updating an organ is you also can typically change the up the sounds a little bit to make it more contemporary to that particular day. You can add sounds and that kind of thing. And that was done. In 1978, the sounds were changed. The way the notes in the pipes opened were changed. And a new console, the place where you sit and play, was provided. That the organ in that form served faithfully again from 1978 until 1993, when the congregation elected to sell their building and move into a growing area of Coeur d'Alene out in the northwest part of town. The organ was removed and put into storage. There was really little question with the congregation that the organ would continue to be a servant within the congregation. And so, again, the organ was stored and reinstalled in the new building with no substantial changes being made at that time. It was installed and brought back to good working condition. And then approximately 20 years later, we move forward to about the year 2015. And again, it needed some work. There were still original mechanical parts from 1909. And if you imagine mechanical parts working after they're 100 years old, that was so, except they weren't working so well anymore.
Imagine having a typewriter from the 1940s that's never been serviced and it's been in daily use. Mechanical parts do wear out, and that's just the way it is. Now, this latest refurbishing of the organ involved the work on the mechanism to bring it up to snuff, if you will, into proper working order. Was there anything done with the sound of the instrument as a part of the project?
Again, the sound of the instrument, there were a couple of significant things done. We took the opportunity to add some additional voices, some additional sounds, if you were, to more fully round out the types of music the instrument could play, the number of sounds, we call them stops, that would be available. And we had an opportunity to do that, and we chose to do that. We also, again, updated the console, the place where you sit and play, and it essentially, I suspect moved from being that Selectric typewriter to being a computer. In fact, that metaphor is actually very real and practical, because in this particular new church setting, the console where you play is separated from the pipes by approximately 40 feet, and the messages are sent from the console to the pipes over a Category 5 data cable.
Well, that's a different sort of thing than was the case for a long time.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. You know, there would have been, we called them umbilical cords loosely, but typically there'd be a whole bundle of cables that used to connect the console where you play to the pipes. And all of that went away. And now there's that single data cable, and essentially the musical sounds are encoded at the console, sent across that data cable, and then they're decoded, I guess would be the word, up in the organ chamber, and the music occurs.
There we go. So you really have a marriage of ancient technology with contemporary technology, and it's not that the contemporary technology is making the sound, it's just enabling the sound, and that is It's a match made in heaven, shall we say, in this case.
It sure is.
So this is an event to celebrate for sure, and you are having a concert to make that celebration, and that's going to be taking place this Sunday afternoon at 2 in Coeur d'Alene at the Community United Methodist Church, just a little bit over there north of the freeway. And tell us a little bit about the program, what's going to be on there, and what we can expect.
Sure. Well, first of all, there will be three organists that will be sharing music on the program. Cynthia Marlette and I share the organist position, and we will both be performing, as well as Burl Cinnamon, who is a former organist and music director at the church, and he now serves as carillonneur at St. John's Episcopal Cathedral here in Spokane. There will be a variety of pieces, really quite varied repertoire, not extremely long, and two very special pieces the church has commissioned. That would be, we connected with two well-known composers to compose pieces of music specifically for us for this occasion. One of those is an anthem arrangement for our choir with the organ, and it has been composed by Mac Wilberg, who is the music director of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir in Salt Lake City.
And he does just really wonderful and also wonderfully accessible arrangements for choirs, and just, yeah, that's something definitely to look forward to.
Yes, and it's a setting of Jerusalem, My Happy Home. Also, we have a commissioned piece of David Dahl, who retired from both Pacific Lutheran University after 30 years of service, and from Christ Episcopal Church Tacoma after 40 years of service. And he is in an emeritus position at both of those institutions. And this particular piece is a canon, an aria, and a chorale set on the hymn tune Eventide, which many of us would know as Abide With Me. And in particular, that piece is commissioned in honor and loving memory of Myrna Tarnowski, who now deceased, was our organist emerita, and she oversaw the 1978 rebuilding. So it'll be a very special day with that music, music of Bach, Vierne, a couple pieces by Paul Halley that originate out of the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York City. One of them includes soprano saxophone.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So some really neat music.
So it is going to be a fun afternoon, and it starts at 2, again, this coming Sunday afternoon, November 11th. At the Community United Methodist Church in Coeur d'Alene, and best wishes for success in this, and the organ to abide and to continue to serve the community there.
Well, thank you, Jim, and I might just add one postscript. If there are those who are unable to attend but might be interested, we're planning to live stream the event through Community United Methodist Church Coeur d'Alene, Idaho's Facebook page. There will be a link there, live streaming at 2 p.m. One can even log on at any point through Facebook and hit a link that will kind of set you up to receive that at 2 p.m. on Sunday.
Yes, indeed. That sounds like a really fine time. So we look forward to that, and again, another marriage of old and new technology, with this grand music from many centuries being served by live streaming. Very good. Mark Haberman, thanks so much for being with us today and for sharing this information. And again, best wishes for a successful concert this weekend.
Thank you, Jim.